Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I am your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime tonight, Nate Green. Or I guess today when you guys are listening to this. Nate, how you doing? Tell us where you're at, because I hear some little bit in the background, and I'm going to apologize for everybody for him now. He is on business, and we're working through the business trip, but we're going to make it work.
Yeah, I got to work through the business trip. I'm in Kansas City, just trying to get this podcast in, even though it's late and I got to be up early, but it's okay. It's all good. Got to talk my Angels baseball.
See, I had no idea that you were in Kansas City, or else I would have just kind of done this by myself, but it's okay. We, you know, we can make this work. We'll be quick with this. So guys, as always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you have not already, go real quick, subscribe to this podcast, because we are back and we're rolling. We're getting this going. Apologize for not being on Monday, which was yesterday for you guys. We're trying to get back on that consistent basis, and we will. It's just going to take a little bit of time. But guys, go subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it. You can leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to it. Follow us on all our social medias, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that fun stuff. And follow myself on Twitter, Jared_Timms. Go follow Nate on Twitter at NateGreen34. He loves to listen to everybody complain to him. So go do that, and as always, give us 1 second to pay the bills.
Hey everyone, before we start, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level, or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is a perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, personalized Q&As of Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and you name all the other ones. You got them. Okay? The best part is you can get all this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance in the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
All right, guys, enough with all of that. Let's get this show rolling. And Nate, a little bit of a heated discussion. I don't know if it's really heated, but I kind of brought up, and I'll paraphrase this. There's a kid down in AAA. His name's Mike Stefanik. If you don't know who he is yet, go ahead and go look him up. I rave about him on a nightly basis. The kid just hits, undrafted free agent. It's quite amazing what he's doing. But the reason why he's not up, and at the moment, as we're recording this, he's 2-for-3 through the first three innings of the game tonight in AAA, and it's quite impressive, like I said, what he's doing. I think he's batting close to .350 in I think 93 games exactly for AAA Salt Lake. Again, undrafted free agent, went to Westmont University, and again, NAIA guy, so I love to to not really worship, but to really give these guys their praise, because a lot of these guys work their butts off. Not saying that, you know, first rounders don't work their butts off, but the guys from the smaller schools and the guys who just don't get the recognition, the anybody drafted after like the third round, I love just, you know, then that's basically everybody, but anybody who doesn't get their due diligence, that's what I love about it, about the minors, because everybody gets hot, everybody will do it, but man, this kid has earned a major league spot, and it's quite impressive. So that brings me to why I wanted to bring this up, and the fact that he isn't up yet is because he is an okay defender. He's not the best. I think he's playing first base tonight. He's played second base. He's played every infield position. I think they've had him in left field and right field as well. So he's versatile, but I don't know where exactly he fits. And it's a conversation that I've had with a lot of people, and nobody really knows where he fits. But he has the bat and the mentality of David Fletcher. So brings me to my question, and this can be just a broad question, not just about Mike Stefanik, but that was just kind of the background of this question. Does defense matter?
Yeah, I think it does to a point, and you're seeing what's happening with the Angels this year. I mean, you could talk about the Angels having one of the worst defenses, and we thought going into the year it was going to be a strength with Anthony Rendon, Jose Iglesias, Fletcher, Gold Glove guy. Basically, had a shot at three Gold Gloves, second, short, third, and then Walsh being able to play decent defense at first. So, yeah, it was definitely something we thought was going to be a strength turned into a weakness for the team, but I do think defense matters, but I also, you know, I am a coach, and the thing you tell all these guys, if you hit, you'll find your way into the lineup, and I think you got to give the guy some sort of opportunity. Like, Rengifo's actually hitting decently, but that could have been a spot for him where it's like, hey, we'll call him up, let him play second once a week, twice a week, let Fletcher play short, and just kind of see what you have, because again, we talk about this all the time. We get into October, November when we're trying to figure out what the Angels' offseason plans are going to be. And, you know, they're always centered around the pitching staff. But, like, we get into this time and it's like, okay, so this guy could make the roster, but we don't know because we didn't see him in the big leagues. We only saw him in AAA. And, yeah, sure, he hit AAA. But, as you know, AAA pitching and big league pitching are totally different. And we've seen that a lot this year where you're seeing AAA arms get called up to the big leagues and they can't throw strikes, but they have an ERA under one in AAA. So I think just from where the Angels are, like, I think there's 5 games under .500, possibly 6 games under .500, depending on how this game ends tonight. You got to give as many guys opportunities as possible and just kind of see where you're at, especially when you kind of don't have to worry about Joe Adell anymore. He's out for probably the rest of the year. You don't have to worry about a Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon. We got rid of Jose Iglesias. So there are a lot of positions open where you can move some guys around and really just force a couple guys in the lineup. So I would love to see him get a chance. I've seen him. I've seen his numbers. He's just hitting out of his mind down in AAA. And, you know, what more can you ask for out of that kid? Like, I really don't know. Like, you're seeing guys who aren't hitting at the AAA level getting calls to the big leagues. And I don't know how that's fair to this kid who just continues to go out there and grind every single day.
Yeah, 100%. And I do believe that Mike Stefanik has earned a chance to play at the major league level. And Perry Manasian has said that as well, that he has. But, you know, he has a couple things to work on, and we know it's defense. We know that's what it is. And the reason why I brought this up, and it really wasn't necessarily meant to be about Mike Stefanik. I just meant about, you know, defense in general. But I love talking about Mike Stefanik. Like, him and Braxton Martinez are two of my favorite guys to talk about down the minors because of what they've done this year offensively. I mean, the stats are amazing. And again, if you haven't seen Braxton Martinez's numbers, he has been unbelievable. And we're going to get to him. We're going to break down the minor leagues here in the upcoming weeks, and basically go like level by level and just kind of talk about it and feel it out. I know, you know, most people don't have the knowledge that, like I said, I don't like to be cocky about this, but no, most people haven't watched the minors like I've watched the minors. So
yeah,
it is what it is. But the reason why I brought up, you know, this whole thing was because, and I'll even quote what I just tweeted out, and the Angels ranked 29th in Fangraph's defensive war at -30.5. They rank 25th in defensive runs saved. That's another Fangraphs stat. That's at negative 31. They rank 29th in UZR, which is ultimate zone rating, which is a bunch of things combined. They're 29th in baseball at 26.5, which is not very good. In fact, if you look at some individual players, I'd say Andrelton Simmons probably, and this is just going off the top of my head, might have a 26-plus UZR this year. I could totally be wrong, but it would make sense.
I think he's played pretty bad in Minnesota. I think he's been bad every with defense and offense there, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. I mean, but Andrelton Simmons is amazing. But and according to Baseball Savant, the Angels are 27th in baseball in outs above average, which is a new stat that incorporates all the Statcast, at negative 23. So, and that's actually gotten better because of, I believe, Brandon Marsh has been really good defensively in center field, and center field being a premier position, that helps out. And I haven't looked at what Luis Renifo has done at shortstop either, but knowing his background, I know he's a decent defender, and again, just giving him consistent at bats. So, you know, with all those numbers being said, that's why I kind of asked and wanted to bring up the defensive side of things. Is, I mean, does defense really matter? Because, I mean, you look at a lot of these stats, and yes, some of the best teams in baseball, like the Cardinals, have the most outs above average according to Baseball Savant, and they're the hottest team in baseball right now. And I know defense doesn't have a lot to do with it, but at some point, I mean, the Angels. This is a interesting thing to say, but the Angels were a very good defensive team for a very long time. However, I think that was more along the lines of Andrelton Simmons being the Mike Trout of defense, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I mean, you kind of get what I'm saying. Like, I want defense to matter, and I really do think it matters, but I don't know to what degree, at what positions. Like, do you just worry about up the middle? Like, the Angels have Max Stassi, who's a very good defender behind the plate. Like, do you build off that? Does it matter defensively behind the plate? Does it, like, I mean, we've seen, like, Max Stassi or Kurt Suzuki. Who would you rather have? I think that's an easy Max Stassi behind the dish, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I do think defense matters. It wouldn't have been a priority this offseason if it didn't matter. And I think if, and again, this is going to go back to what we talked about a long time ago, but, like, the Angels want to get back to playing 1970s baseball, where, you know, defense is a big, big deal in that area of baseball. It was, you know, can you pitch? Can you play defense? And I think the Angels' pitching has been bad this year. Let's be honest. I know you can argue that, you know, the starting pitching has been that bad, or the bullpen hasn't been that bad of late, whatever. But honestly, the defense dictates how well some of those pitchers pitch. Jose Quintana walks a lot of guys. When he was pitching with the Angels, he walked a lot of guys, so it's really hard to play defense against a walk. But when you have guys that are pitch to contact guys, the guys that are allowing the ball to be put in play, like Patrick Sandoval was. I know Patrick Sandoval was getting a bunch of punch outs as well, but like they're still putting the ball in play against them. And you still got to make plays behind him. So I do think defense matters, and I do think that needs to be something that is talked about this offseason, because you know the number one need for the Angels is going to be shortstop. And the other thing that's going to be talked about is who's going to play center field next year. And we know Mike Trout's going to be in the lineup, but will Mike Trout be in center field? And does that make the Angels better moving him to a corner? Does it make him healthier? There's just going to be a lot of defensive-minded questions, I think. And when you look at that shortstop market, who's available, the first thing that's going to come up is, yes, who's marketable, but then also who plays the best defense is really going to come up. Because I think for the most part, those guys offensively are pretty close, even though I think Baez is far behind Seager, Correa, Story offensively, but the question is going to be who can play defense, because our pitching needs somebody who can play defense.
Yes, and I totally agree with you there, and I you knew exactly what I was going to say, didn't you? Because you brought up the marketability, and you know exactly, and you know I don't like to say this person's name on this, but you know exactly what Artie Moreno is going to want. And again, it's Artie gets what Artie wants, and that I'm fine with that. It's his team. He should 110%. And if he wants to go out and get Javi Baez, he's going to go get Javi Baez, just like he got everybody else that he has wanted, minus a couple guys. Like, I mean, there's been guys. I'm sure he wanted Garrett Cole and those type of guys. But if he wants
to. He wanted Adrian Beltre back in the day, didn't get him. But yeah.
You get what I'm saying. Like, and Artie wasn't that the guy he is now, though, you know, that he was when he, like, Adrian Beltre, that's looking at it now is incredibly. Like an incredibly good move, you know, like a Hall of Famer, and that,
yeah, that's who we wanted, and we missed out, and we ended up with Vernon Wells,
and so be it, and that's a completely different story, and I understand why we're going that direction with it, but again, like back onto the defensive side of things, I just don't know, it's so tough for me because I love defense, I think that defense wins World Series. I think it's a good start to winning World Series. I can't say that it wins it because I will agree with you. I think that pitching at the end of the day in the playoffs wins World Series. And I think that, you know, you can be an average pitching team down the road, like in the regular season and be a playoff team. And there's a lot of luck that goes into it, but you need good defense at some point. Like, I don't know. The Angels have just been so bad defensively this year. It's tough. It's tough not to address the concern, and I don't know who to blame. I don't know what to blame. Like, you can make the point like that Joe Maddon came in and then defense got horribly bad, and you could be like, oh, it's Joe Maddon, but like we don't know if it's Joe Maddon. Like, we don't know what these guys are doing on the side. It's hard for me to point the fingers at some guys. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to point the fingers at people. That's not my job. That's not where I stand on this whole subject. I just wanted to bring up defense, you know?
Yeah, and right now, I mean, we're not competing for a World Series right now. We're six games under 500 and five games under 500. So just go find out what he is. You know, maybe he is better defensively in the big leagues than people thought. Maybe the Angels do a really good job with positioning him, and the guy rakes out of his mind and plays average defense, and it's like, hey, you know what? We can use that guy off the bench. So this is the time. That's the thing that I've been trying to preach for a long time, is when you are out of it, this is the time to try and figure out what you have. And I feel like that's something the Angels have not done for multiple years, is we get into September and it's, oh no, we want to finish the year at 500, or we want to finish the year a couple games over 500. It's like, who cares? At this point, like, let's find out what we have so we don't go into the offseason with 100 question marks going, all right, is Joe Adell ready? Is Joe Adell able to play at this level? Is Brandon Marsh able to play at this level? And you just continue to go on and on through the rabbit hole of all these prospects the Angels have that aren't up, that could have been up, and then we end up in February for spring training, it's like, oh, well, we didn't address a need in the outfield because we thought this guy was going to be ready, even though he hasn't played a major league game. And he looks like trash in spring training because he's not ready. And now we're a guy short. Now we got to go find somebody 2 weeks before the season who's probably not the best option for us. So that's my take. Like, yeah, defense matters, but this is a time to find out how good he really is.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, this
anyone, something, it doesn't just have to be him.
Yeah, no, I think we've been preaching this for a while. It's like, you know, you have these guys in AAA, and even with, you know, like the 2020 season and how that was, you should have, like, Joe Adell should have been playing every day, no matter how bad he was. Right? Like, I mean, you at least knew, and same thing. And I get starting him in the minors. That's a good thing. And yeah. I mean, we can play Captain Hindsight all we want with all of this stuff, you know. But yeah, I agree with you to answer the question. Does defense matter? Because I brought this up, and I love defense. I definitely think it matters. So Nate, let's hop on to exactly what we want to talk about. And guys, if you're just joining us for, you know, these podcasts and are wondering, hey, why aren't these guys talking Angels baseball right now, because, you know, they're on and they're playing, and why are they not doing a recap? It's because, honestly, like, do we really want to talk about the Angels right now and a game that really doesn't matter all that much? Like, I do want to talk about it, and if something happens, we can definitely talk about it. But So be it. Let's talk about the future, and let's talk about what, you know, can actually happen here. And no way to, you know, better do that than let's talk about the MVP, Nate. Let's talk about, does Shohei Ohtani still deserve the MVP?
Yes, of course. I think Salvador Perez has played a big, big role into this, actually. And I don't know if this gets talked about enough. I know the question has been floating around on MLB.com, on MLB Network. If Vlad Guerrero Jr. wins the Triple Crown, does that automatically mean he wins the MVP? And I think Jared and I talked about this last time. Trout had probably the best year of his career when Miguel Cabrera won the MVP, when he won the Triple Crown. So I do think that that is a big deal, winning the Triple Crown. And I think Salvador Perez becoming the hottest hitter in baseball over the last 2 weeks to really put him with a good amount of RBI leads over Vlad to make sure that he won't be caught, and also to continue to hit home runs, which is making Vlad chase him there too. I think he hit number 44 today and has the all-time home run record for a catcher in a season, I believe. But yeah, I think he is a big, big reason why Shohei Ohtani wins the MVP. And I know you guys are going to be like, well, Nate, like, this is probably the greatest season ever. And I would agree with you that Ohtani has had an amazing year. I think it has really, really come to a halt, though, this last couple weeks to a month, where Ohtani really hasn't hit as well as he did early in the year. And, you know, not getting as many opportunities to pitch with the sore arm, but he threw really well on Sunday, so that was good to see. Hopefully he gets one more shot at 10 wins, because that would be a big milestone for Jared and I, just being able to talk about that some more. But yeah, I think he still wins the MVP, long story short, just because Salvador Perez made it too hard for Vlad to win the Triple Crown.
Yeah, and Salvi just hit his 46th of the year, passing Johnny Bench. 45 was the record. So, but yeah, I think it's a two-man race. I mean, Salvi's going to get some votes, and because of the old school riders and what Salvi's done this year, and he's had a fantastic year offensively. Don't get me wrong by any standpoint. I mean, 46 home runs is 46 home runs, but it's a two-man race, right? There's nobody else. I mean, we tried to talk about this a little bit before. We thought like Marcus Semien, but if Vlad's not going to win it, you know, why would Marcus Semien win it? There's not really any pitchers. Garrett Cole maybe in the chase. I think I threw out Nathan Eovaldi. I don't think that's really a name to really be concerned about. But between Vlad and Shohei Ohtani, I think that's the way it ends up being, and it's close, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know how to, like, it's...
I think it's a lot closer than people thought it would be at the All-Star break.
100%. And you look at, like, Shohei Ohtani's last start really, really helped him out. You look at Shohei Ohtani offensively. He's batting .257. It would be the lowest batting average for an MVP winner that wasn't a pitcher full-time. He's slashing that .257, .359. 591 with a 149 WRC plus. I don't know what he did tonight. Is he he's 0 for 1 tonight already, I believe. And he has 25 doubles, 44 home runs, 23 stolen bases. And from a pitching standpoint as well, he's had a fantastic year. He's 9-2. Like we said, that 10th win will probably be pretty big for him. He struck out 146 players or batters in 123 innings pitched. He's walked 44. The command has looked spectacular ever since, let's probably mid-July. He's been absolutely lights out. He had 10 strikeouts last night. He deserved to win the game last night. The offense just wasn't quite there. So, and then when you look at Vlad's numbers, and Vlad's had another spectacular season, 0 for 4 today, which doesn't help anything out, but he's slashing .320, .410. 614 with a 172 WRC plus. Those are some Mike Trout like numbers right there. He's got 46 home runs, and he's only struck out 104 times and 82 walks this year. So I think that it is a lot closer than what people are saying. But to ask the, you know, the question, Triple Crown or what Shohei Ohtani's done this year, and not be a biased Angels fan about this, it's tough because of what great of years these are. And it would have probably helped a little bit more if Miggy didn't win the Triple Crown, because it would have been that much more special. But you have to think that Shohei Ohtani has it on lock with what he's done this year.
The only reason why I would say if Vlad somehow gets stupid hot in this last 2 weeks of the season, you know, takes over the lead, wins the Triple Crown, I think he's back about 8 in RBI. So maybe it's 10 now after Salvi's day. But, yeah, the only reason that I would say Vlad wins, if he wins Triple Crown, is he's on a playoff team. And don't get me wrong, the Angels have won the MVP multiple times without being a playoff team. I know that, but it's called the most valuable player. And you take Vlad Guerrero Jr. off that team, or you give the Blue Jays the Vlad Guerrero Jr. that they have had the last 2 years, they're probably not a playoff team. And I think that is incredibly valuable when you're talking about the MVP. Is I'm not saying you have to be a playoff team, but I think if it's very, very close, that that's probably the deciding factor for me if I were voting, are you a playoff team? And how much did you affect that playoff team? And I think if you're going to have numbers like that, you probably really affected that playoff team, especially on a team who is traditionally not a playoff team. They haven't been a playoff. They were a playoff team last year, I guess. But, you know, you go back, it's been, what, four or five years since they've been a playoff team. So I think that that would be the reason why I would give it to Vlad if he were to somehow win the Triple Crown.
Final question here, and we can finish it on this. What does MVP actually mean to you, Nate?
For me, it is the most valuable player in the league. And I think in order to be valuable, you need to help with wins. And I think Ohtani gets I think Angel players get hurt a little bit because the expectations on the Angels going into the year, knowing they have Mike Trout, knowing they have Anthony Rendon, and now Shohei Ohtani, and, you know, the free agent as they pick up, I think it becomes a little bit hurtful to them because they're expected to win 90 games and compete for a playoff spot, and they don't finish the year even close to making the playoffs. So I think they get a little hurt in that, where a team like the Blue Jays, it's more like, hey, you know, it's an up-and-coming team. You know, they signed George Springer. We're not 100% sure if they're ready to win yet, but if they do, that's awesome. You know, like, if a Yankee guy, same thing. Like, if Aaron Judge were to have gone off this year and they missed the playoffs somehow, it's hard for me to give it to Aaron Judge, knowing that he's supposed to win 95 games and they win 84 games. And it's like, well, how valuable can you really be? Yeah, you put up numbers, but were those numbers in meaningful games, and were those numbers at meaningful times in those games? And I think Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s had some meaningful at-bats, which Shohei Ohtani really hasn't had meaningful at-bats. And honestly, when we've been down the stretch, like, his numbers haven't been that good lately. So I would still give it to Ohtani just because of the history he's made and the year he's had and just everything about this year. But it's definitely very, very close.
I think when you look at an MVP, you kind of look at it how you look at a Hall of Famer, per se. And you look at how good that player was during their generation. You can't compare Hall of Famers to other Hall of Famers. Like, you can't compare what Shohei Ohtani is doing this year to Babe Ruth. As much as we all want to do that, it's not fair to do that for anybody. It really isn't, just because of the era. Like, for all intents and purposes, Babe Ruth was facing 85 miles an hour, and Shohei Ohtani's facing unbelievable, and he's throwing unbelievable. You know, like, that's where I stand. And for me, the most valuable player, you hit it right on those. It's how valuable you are to a team. And does that value translate into wins? I think at the end of the day, it translates into more wins than, you know, what, like, look at the
72.
Angels. Look at the Angels without Shohei Ohtani this year. Ooh, that's rough, right? This is not a good year. And we've said this about Mike Trout. Like, look at the Angels without Mike Trout. Yes, they're not a playoff team without Mike. They're not a playoff team still. you know, like whether you have Trout or not, or whether you have Ohtani or not, but at least they're not a 60-win team, or not saying the Angels are a 60-win team this year without Shohei Ohtani, but hey, I mean, you never know, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing that I was bringing up with Vlad, is like, hey, you give them the Vlad they had 2 years ago that hit 260, I think it was, with like 10 homers and played absolutely terrible defense at third base and just wasn't as good as advertised. They're not in the wild card chase right now. They're probably in the same spot the Angels are, about 3 to 5 games under 500, saying, hey, we're really close to being a playoff team. We're one piece away. And I think because Vlad stepped it up so much this year, and, you know, he's had more protection around him, which has helped. But because he has stepped it up so much, and that team went from a borderline 83, 84 win team to, hey, they could win 90 games this year. That's the reason why it's a lot closer. But if we were just going based off numbers strictly, Shohei Ohtani's got it on lock.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Like that's an interesting point that you bring up for you know, the voting side of things. You know, the Blue Jays aren't a playoff contender without Vlad this year. Granted, they're not a playoff contender without Marcus Semien this year either. So you could kind of make the case that, you know, Vlad and Semien probably have a very similar MVP caliber. I mean, you could probably say it about Robbie Ray as well. Mm-hmm. But then again, like if you did this with all the teams that were almost or that were close to contenders or that are contenders this year that aren't, like, I'm trying to think of a team, like, I mean, where are the Cardinals without Adam Wainwright? Like, are you going to give the MVP to Adam Wainwright?
Yeah. He might get a vote. He might.
He's probably going to get votes for sure. And I mean, I don't know. It's a tough argument to have. I think we're going to argue about this quite a few more times down the road, and we'll kind of see how the season ends. But that's just something that I wanted to bring up. So, guys, as always, I just want to thank you all for listening to this podcast. If you could, go follow us on all our social medias, subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it, leave us a 5-star review. You can follow myself on Twitter @Jared_Timms. You can follow Nate @NateGreen34, and have a great rest of your day.